Welcome to the first podcast in Axion's Energy Links podcast series. I'm Paul Rippey, the chief consultant to the Energy Links project, and I'm your host for the series. In this first episode, we'll introduce Energy Links and we'll talk about what to expect from the podcast series. I'm very pleased to be here today with Beth Rhein. Elizabeth Rhein is already well known to a lot of the people who will listen to this podcast, and she may need no introduction, but just in case someone out there doesn't know her, Beth is the managing director of the Center for Financial Inclusion at Axion International. And Beth, I hope we'll find a minute later on so you can talk about the activities of the center. Beth has published numerous articles and four books on microfinance, and I'd just like to mention two of the books. One is The New World of Micro Enterprise Finance, of which she was co-editor, and I still have my dog-eared red paperback copy of that book that I've read. I've lent to a lot of other people, and actually, I valued it enough that I got it back even when I lent it. Another is Mainstreaming Microfinance, How Lending to the Poor Began, Grew, and Came of Age in Bolivia. And I think that book, maybe more than any other, just sort of showed in very clear language the path to commercialization and professionalization of microfinance, and which has been a model for it now for many countries and many sectors. From 1994 to 1998, Beth was the director of the Office of Microenterprise Development at the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID. She's lived in Africa for 8 years, in Kenya and Mozambique. She's traveled around the world consulting on microfinance policy and operations for governments, international organizations, and microfinance institutions. And Beth holds a master's and a PhD in public policy from Harvard University. Beth Rhein, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Paul.
And maybe we should begin just by talking about the origin of the Energy Links project.
Okay. Well, I think the original impetus for the Energy Links project grows out of the conviction that everyone needs to take climate change seriously. And as you know, Paul, we had lots of conversations about what is the role of microfinance in combating climate change. And over time, those conversations really led us to focus on microfinance doing what it does best, which is financing the activities of low-income people. And so we thought of it as, how can microfinance be a vehicle for bringing renewable energy to low-income people? So with that, we then began looking at what was going on in that field and found it was a very tiny little field with only a few people working in it. And so far, most of the results had been disappointing. Most of the projects succeeded in reaching only a few people and hadn't really become sustainable. So I began to wonder, why was that? What was the problem here? And quickly settled on at least one of the big problems, which was a big gulf between microfinance and energy providers. And it was a gulf of understanding. The microfinance providers didn't know what they needed to do to make financing available, and the energy companies didn't really understand how microfinance worked. In both cases, both sides had to come up with business models that were different from their normal ways of operating. And so we came to the idea that we wanted to test whether a project broker could help to bridge the gap, someone who would really get in there and problem solve and be creative to see what it was that could happen to overcome this misunderstanding or lack of understanding gulf. So fortunately, we were able to attract some support from the Wallace Global Foundation and from USAID via the field project managed by AED. And fortunately, Paul, you agreed to be part of this, and then we were off. So why don't you talk a little bit about what we've been doing in the project?
Okay, great. Thanks. That's a good introduction. I mean, I totally believe that it is important to get everybody sitting around the table, which we actually did. And we started in one country simply because it was a country I knew well, which was Uganda. And actually, right at the end of October of last year, we had a meeting in Kampala at the Sheraton Hotel, and we got a lot of people sitting around the table, really good people, but sort of working independently. And we were actually introducing people to each other, even though they were working in sort of parallel courses. The finance people did not know the energy people. And there's another group that I'd sort of add to the mix, and that is the people who have really good networks reaching very far out. And sometimes that's the microfinance institutions, and sometimes it's other institutions too. So if you get the networks, which I call sometimes distribution channels, together with the suppliers who are often but not always the same as the importers together with the finance people. That's when you get enough synergy that you can make things happen. Again, first country was Uganda, and there we have a really active role being played by one of the suppliers of clean energy products, and that's an Australian firm called Barefoot Power, which is making solar LED lamps. Barefoot's an outstanding organization. They think the same way we do about bottom of the pyramid. They realize that cost is just such a big factor when you're dealing with very poor people. So they have a very good, no-frills product called the Firefly Lamp. They've just opened an office in Uganda. And so in Uganda, they are doing a lot of the field work, but we've been working very closely with them at every step of this process.
Paul, so, if I could just talk about what I think are the two key insights that you had as you went around and looked at this in Uganda. So one insight was that by talking to people, you learned they didn't like their current lighting source and were able to model a product that would in many ways be a substitute for their current product, which this Taduba kerosene lamp, and really try to model the product on being a better substitute for that. So other people hadn't really seen that as the way into the market.
Yeah, we did focus groups out in Masaka, which is not the poorest part of the country, but there's certainly poor rural people who aren't connected to the grid at